It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we start year 26 of the Coaches Show this morning. And joining us is Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. He has been the most, as far as a coach on this Coaches Show is concerned, he's been on the most times. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Kevin. Did a little reminiscing when you said that this morning before we came on. And I thought, I remember coming in and sitting in a studio in between Mike Jeffries and Ron Cole.
Yep.
And sitting in there, and you had all the room in the world, and the three of us were scrunched together. So that was an experience as a young man a long time ago.
Oh, I had all the room, and I made you guys squeeze together, huh?
That was correct.
All right, you have something special going today as far as your football program is concerned. Tell us about it.
We're going to have our Mom's Day starting here at 7:30. Right now we have players and films with their coaches at 7. At 7:30 we're going to go out and have Mom's Day. We'll get about a half an hour of practice with the moms. Turn out, have a parent meeting. Then we're going to open up the field to anybody who wants to come out and watch our drill work. They can be in amongst the drills. We'd ask them not to get hurt, not to get in it. But we're going to do a little drill session so all the parents can come down and see exactly what their kids are doing for about 45 minutes. Then the Football Association is doing their rules interpretation, and we're going to bring them out, and they're going to do officials, and we're going to do a full-fledged scrimmage as far as a full game scenario. As next Friday night we have Jamboree, you don't game scenario, we're going to go kickoff return, so we work on our special teams also.
I know you like that Mom's Day. You've done that for quite a long time, haven't you?
We have. You know, I think about that. We started that in 2012, and the reason I know is 2012, my wife had always wanted to be part of her son's football experience, and I went to Greenwood, Arkansas, head coach Rick Jones, who's now the head assistant, I don't know exactly his title. He's an assistant to Coach Trinkowitz up at Mizzou.
Mm-hmm.
He had done that, and I asked him about it, and the way it set up, it was so neat. So we brought our moms out, and it was really a neat day to watch the moms connect with the players. And if you see it now, heck, everybody has picked it up and doing it, and I'm really excited that people are doing that. You know, you set a trend. It's pretty cool, but been doing it since 2012, and the moms beg for it. They don't beg for it out once it's done, but they beg for it at the beginning because they just like to see what their young man is learning, because a lot of moms haven't been part of football other than washing clothes, giving rides, sitting in the stands and going, what is this about? Once they realize the connection that their young men are making with other people, the moms really become connected with their player and then also with the other moms. So it's a really, really good team bonding experience.
I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but I'm going to throw some numbers out here so everybody's aware of this. This is your fourth year back at Blair Oaks. The last 3 years, the Falcons are 40-2, and your record at Blair Oaks is 84-14. That's pretty impressive, Coach.
No, you've had some great players out here, though, too. I mean, it's pretty easy when the tradition's been as strong as it was. We first came here in 2001. They had never won a playoff game, and we won a playoff game in 2001, and it seemed to just ignite something in our community here. And ever since then, it's just been rolling, and a lot of it has to do, first of all, with Dr. Jim Jones, who sets the tempo every day for this community, and for the school district, I'd say. And then the community just follows along. Great parent support. You can't go to any place better where you're going to have people that line up to help and want to the players to be successful. They don't really care about, you know, all the other things that go on. They want this team to be successful, because when this team's successful, they're all successful. And that's pretty selfless, and that's a really great thing that I enjoy being around.
We talked a little bit about this earlier in the week. Your staff has done very well, haven't they?
You know, I can arguably, and I will get a little bit boastful about this. We got one of the best staffs in the state. When you start with our offense coordinator, Lerone Briggs, been coordinating offenses now for 19 years, does the things he does. We've averaged over 52 points a game two out of the last 3 years. And that, the 1 year we did, we were at 49. You got John Butler, who's been a college coach. He has been a high school head coach, and he's the defense coordinator. Our defense has been our unsung hero the last couple of years. Those two guys said that. Then you got Andrew Terpster, who does our special teams, and just a phenomenal phenomenal players coach. Mike Cook is our O-line coach. Gary Ferguson coaches outside linebackers, receivers. You've got Kevin Adewine, who does our safeties and does a tremendous job with our running backs. You got Josh Lindenbrink, who's a Blair Oaks through-and-through guy, who does our receivers and also our corners. And then this year we added Mike Hall to our staff, who's been a phenomenal coach, been a coordinator at Rock Ridge the past several years. We really are excited about our staff. They do a great job creating relationships with the players. And second, they're very knowledgeable. So my job is just to stand around and watch, and I get to do that a lot.
What'd you do with the football program this summer?
We did exactly what we've probably put in place back in 2005, 2004, 2005. We start with a camp early. We go 5 days. Then June, we're pretty much off except for running and lifting. I'm a huge weight room guy, so we're always running and lifting. But then we start our football activities back the second week of July. Once we get back from our dead week, we went three what we call open fields. The next week went four open fields. And in the last week of July that we could do stuff, we went a 5-day camp. And we brought CBC in, and it was a really great experience for our players. CBC right now, I saw one of the preseason rankings has them ranked number one. We felt like we had a really good day against them. We felt like that was great competition for us. And they do, Scott Pingle, I really have a lot of respect for him. So it was a really good summer for us. We waited to turn football on till late. I think you can burn some players out. We've done that before, of doing too much during the summer. Mm-hmm. We want them to be able to play. Coach Pinkle and I are actually talking. You know, when you say 40-2 over the last 3 years, people don't realize you only play 10 games in the season. So that's 30 games. So we have played over 4 seasons in 3 years. So you got to be careful doing too much during the summer. Give them a taste. But let's play our best football October, November, and December.
Former Jefferson City Jay and Missouri Tiger Justin Gage was in Wardsville, wasn't he?
He was, and that was such an experience. I had such a good rapport with him when he was a player. I really had a special connection with him. I was not the head coach at that point in time. So you could have, as an assistant, that's the thing I miss most about being an assistant. You can have such a different relationship with the players than the head coach. And he and I developed a really strong bond, and to see him coaching. Scott Pingle had called me earlier this year and said, hey, I had a guy, he was interviewed, really impressed, he has you as a reference, what do you think? And I said, what's his name? He said, Justin Gage. And I said, you hire that dude right now. Wow. Strong character guy, unbelievably great at making people around him better. And if you can do that, you can be a really, really good coach. That guy's, you're going to hear great things out of him if he wants to, as far as he wants to go in coaching.
How did you navigate through practice this week? It was really hot, at least for Monday through Thursday.
Well, we never talk about the heat, first of all. But second, we practice at 6:30, 9:30 every morning. And I think we can guarantee you're going to have weather you can practice in. It's still hot. It's still humid. And I had my wife actually tell me, she always said, somebody had told her, they said, well, we should practice at 1:00 in the afternoon when it's hot. She goes, well, you're not going to play a game when it's hot. They're like, oh, yeah, you are. She said, no, if it's over 105, the state won't let you play. Mm-hmm. Why would you practice in it? And I'm like, wow, what an astute coach's wife. But that's one of our thought processes. Why beat heat? Heat you can't beat. Let's go out. Let's get as much done as we can with the temperature we possibly can get it done in. And you're going to play in hot weather. You're playing in hot weather when it's that early in the morning and you've got the humidity. But we're really worried about effort and technique. And that's been a big catchphrase for me during this camp. We have a lot of young players that are going to play for us this year. Very athletic. But we're talking about if you give maximum effort and you have great technique, you got a chance to win a football game. So that was our whole sole point of going in the mornings. Get as much effort and much technique as we can.
I looked at the roster real quick the other day. I thought I saw, just 8 or 9 seniors on the team right now?
Actually, 6, and 2 okay. of them are injured right now. So we have 4 seniors playing for us. The great thing about that is all 6 of those guys are tremendous character guys. They're tremendous football players. There's not a lot of them. When I came here back 3 or 4 years ago, they said at that point in time there were 8 in the freshman class, and they said this was the smallest class we've ever had. It's going to be that way. We lost 2 along the way, so our attrition rate hasn't been as that big. There's still 6 of them left. But we have an unbelievable junior class. We have 3 returning All-State juniors, and then we have a bunch of our sophomores that played a lot last year as freshmen. So two big back-to-back classes. What you don't want to do at a school our size is have two back-to-back little classes, and we don't have that. We actually have, you know, this one class that happens to be a really, really good group of kids and a good group of players. It's just not real large in numbers.
They haven't come out yet as far as the districts and the classifications are concerned. Do you think you'll still be in Class 3 this year?
By golly, I hope so. I hope we are. I want to go into every season playing the best we can possibly play, Kevin. I never back down out of that as a coach, and that's not a knock to anything other than we were in Class 3 last year. You always want to be in that class so you can come back and show people that you weren't just a one-year wonder. You want to have that opportunity, and we get to start that off right off, no matter what class we're in. Not too many people, and I've been told this the last couple of years, holy cow, why do you start with a team like Maryville, who has been the class of Class 3 for the past 10, 15 years? So because we want to play the best every week, and that's an opportunity for us to do that right off the bat. This will be the fifth time in 4 years of them playing each other. So it's going to be a fun go, and we'll get ready to start playing them on Monday. We're going to finish up today, and then Monday we'll start keying in on Maryville, and we'll have a jamboree next Friday. Our jamboree is more of a dress rehearsal. We don't really prepare for that. We just want to 100% get ready to play Maryville. That's our first opponent that counts.
You mentioned the jamboree. What time is it going to start? Who's coming in?
7 o'clock, we will bring the 4A Class 4 state champs out here, Helias. Southern Boone will be here. And then I've got in touch with Kansas City Central, who has always been in the semifinals playing Maryville and quarterfinals playing Odessa. Very, very, very organized team from Kansas City with athleticism. So we wanted to see them. We had an open, and they're going to come down here. So we're going to have three real quality teams in our jamboree. Again, it's not about winning the jamboree. For us, it's going to be about doing things that we want to see if we can do in a real game, and then we'll get ready for week one.
Coach, appreciate your time this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll look forward to it, Kevin. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. We're back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
When Raymer Brothers first opened their doors, they wanted to bring quality, one-of-a-kind, handcrafted furniture to mid-Missouri. And for over 25 years, they've been able to provide quality and affordable furniture for the dining room, living room, outside, and more. From traditional to modern, they're proud to showcase Amish and Mennonite furniture that lasts. And every piece comes with a 10-year warranty. Raymer Brothers Furniture, making furniture the American Way for over 25 years. 87 and Highway C Junction in High Point. RaymerBrothers.com.
It takes a lot more than money, time, and a rock-solid plan to run a successful business. You need people, and not just any people. You need a team that's as passionate about their work as you. That's why lots of Mid-Missouri business owners are turning to MidMoHires.com to find their next rock star. If you need help building your team, talk to Zimmer Communications about posting on MidMoHires.com. For great local companies hiring great local people, MidMoHires.com.
From the Ozarks to the mighty rivers all across this land, we're here with you, helping build this country strong. Building this land.
We're here today with Doug Hagenhoff, a consumer loan officer from Hawthorne Bank. Doug, take us through what you do and how you can help out at Hawthorne Bank.
What I do day to day, big piece of it is doing the home equity line of credit loans. So home equity line of credit is a loan against your house. It's a revolving line of credit, so you can use some, none, or all of the line that's available to you. There's no restrictions. Neatest thing is adoptions. I've had multiple, and that's just about as cool a thing as you can ever do.
Doug Hagenhoff from Hawthorne Bank, NMLS number 673313, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Save the date. Monday, September 13th is a traditional 33rd annual Helias Foundation Golf Tournament happening at three different locations: Jefferson City Country Club, Osage National Golf Resort, and Meadow Lake Acres Country Club. Friday, September 10th is the Young Crusaders Course for those who are 21 through 35. Cost is $75 per golfer. For sponsorship opportunities, registration, and more, go to HeliasFoundation.org.
building this land.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches. Coach, congratulations on being a grandpa for the second time this summer.
Oh, thank you, Kevin.
Everybody doing well?
Yes, everyone's doing well.
23-2 the last two seasons for the Helias Crusaders under your direction.
Yeah, we've obviously last year was a very special year, and you know, just trying to come back, and rebuild the program. Anytime you rebuild something, it takes a while, and you know, that first year we just kind of rebuilt the foundation and had a lot of success in year two, and year three we were finally able to break down the door and win a state title, and that was very rewarding for all of us.
You know, it's a situation where you always talk about closing the door and then opening up the new one for the next season, but you kind of want to leave a crack in the door from last season. It was so special.
Well, yeah, and we've talked about it some, and you know, I've certainly reminded the players their important role they played in last year, because I do think that builds confidence, you know, and letting them know that those things can be accomplished with hard work, and you know, I think there's always great lessons you can learn from those successes, but by the same token, too, you have to remind them that what we did last year really is in the past, and that state title is not going to get us one single win this year. You know, we're going to have to earn everything we get, you know, from how we work throughout the winter and the spring conditioning, throughout our summer camps. That effort is going to determine our success this season.
You know, winning the state championship against MICDS obviously was a great win. But I tell you what, I go back and still think about that Smithville game.
Yeah, and you know, that was such a hard-fought defensive game, low-scoring game, and you know, the little swing pass out to Alex Clement and his ability to break those two tackles and, you know, take it an extra 20, 25 yards and set us up and, to get the go ahead score, and then the defense coming out and securing the victory for us. That was a very, very special win on that road to the state championship.
What have you been doing with the football team this summer?
Well, you know, we have 20 contact days, and we were able to use all of them. I think all but one. I think we ended up having 19 contact days. But it's very typical for us, you know, in June. We do Wednesday night 7-on-7s. We do some camps, and we do some 7-on-7s. We try to keep June open for the other sports as well. I know there's basketball leagues on Monday night and baseball on Tuesday and Thursdays. And so, you know, I think a lot of local coaches do the same thing, and we do some Wednesday night football and 7-on-7. And then, you know, when we get back from the dead period after July 4th week, we really cranked up camp. You know, we practiced, every day from that point forward, and just really installing our offense and our defense and working on special teams and, you know, just trying to prepare for the season.
Are you pleased with the numbers that you have out so far?
Yeah, we've got 97 kids in the program, grades 9 through 12. Very happy with the numbers that we have, and you know, happy with their work and retention. And every year, I think the kids just remember more. And you know, we were, I think, for the first time in my coaching career, you know, when July ended, we pretty much had our entire defensive playbook and about 95% of our offensive playbook already taught and installed. So I feel like now here we're in August, where this week is just more about a lot of review. This will be the last week, you know, we're going to be Helias versus Helias. And then starting next week, we're going to begin preparing for Hannibal. We have a scrimmage this morning that we're getting ready for. I guess we'll call it our blue gold scrimmage, but it'll be our offense against, our defense. And you know, we're going to try to get every player, you know, at least 10, 15 plays throughout the course of the scrimmage. And it's our first full pad day. You know, day 6 of the fall camp is when you put on full pads for the first time. And, you know, we've been half pads. But it'll be fun to watch full speed tackling. It'll be fun to watch, you know, running backs break tackles and linebackers and secondaries finish tackles, get them to the ground. We got some officials coming out, and I thank the Chesapeake Football Officials Association for coming out and helping us this morning. And we're just looking forward to, you know, to seeing some real football this morning. And I know the boys were excited, and we had a short special teams walkthrough last night. And we didn't condition them last night so that they're refreshed and ready and ready to get after it this morning.
Well, how'd you navigate through the heat this week?
Well, we pushed our practices back in the evening. Well, Monday, Tuesday, we did really early morning practices, and then we started teachers' meetings in preparation of school on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we pushed all of our practices back to the evening. And it wasn't too bad as far as the heat. You know, we had to make some adjustments, but I think it's good, too. I really do think dealing with the heat and trying to acclimate yourself to that heat is important, because you never know what that first, you know, first, second, third, fourth game might be like. I mean, you could get a 90, 95 degree day on one of those first games. So you have to get out in the heat and get yourself acclimated to it. But I thought the boys handled it really well this week.
Jamboree for you next week out of Wardsville.
Yes, we're going to be playing Blair Oaks and Southern Boone. You know, we've been going to Blair Oaks for many years now for the Jamboree. We always think it's a very, very great venue. Obviously, Blair Oaks a great program. Southern Boone a very great program, and for us, it's a good way to kick off the season and a little measuring stick to see where we're at and in preparation for a very good Hannibal team coming down.
You know, we've talked about the football program, football team, real quick. I know you're very proud of your staff too.
Yes. And I know a lot of head coaches feel that way, and as do I, that I have an outstanding football staff. And, you know, on the defensive staff being led by Phil Pitts, who I think is one of the best defensive coordinators in the state, and, you know, his staff. I have a lot of experience over there, Victor Bell, Jeff Pickering, Mark Ordway, Jeb Waite, Chris Jones, new coach added to the staff, Brenton Wrigley. Those guys are doing a great job on the defensive side. On the offensive side, you know, Zach Rockers, who quarterbacked for me, you know, Zach was a quarterback back in 2010. I handed over the reins to the offense to him last year. He just did a great job, and he's, you know, he's really growing as an offensive coordinator. And Adam McMorris and Garrett Wiggins and Jeremy Braun, and, we lost our offensive line coach last year, but I brought in Scott Wilson. You know, Scott played for the Crusaders back in 1988. He played at Oklahoma State, and he and Luke Yarnell are heading up the offensive line group, and Luke played for us back in 2010. Well, so we have a good mixture, good staff, and you know, just really excited about our progress so far. And you know, I tip my hat to those men and their leadership and our program. And you know, my philosophy is that you hire good coaches and you let them coach, and I don't try to micromanage them. I guide them, you know, just give them that kind of free reign to be coaches of their position, and they all do just such a fantastic job.
You're going to get started in a couple of minutes with practice today. Can people come over and watch?
Sure. It's open. We're gonna do just about 8:30. We'll take the field, and we'll do some just positional drills first. We're trying to get the scrimmage started about 9:45. It should wrap up about 11:15. But yes, we've invited the public, parents, grandparents, anyone else to come out and watch the Crusaders. It's going to be a lot of our number one offense versus the best of we call it the best of the rest defense. That means we can pull from the rest of the team, usually our twos, and then we'll flip it. Then we'll go number one defense versus best of the rest offense. We're going to have a little freshman and sophomore scrimmage that kind of intermingles in between that to give our varsity kids some rest. And we'll run a lot of different reps. So you're going to see the freshmen playing the sophomores. You'll see some JV scrimmages. You'll see our varsity scrimmage. All told, we think we can get everybody a sufficient amount of plays, you know, in about an hour and a half of scrimmage. And again, it's going to be officials. It'll be fun. We're looking forward to it. And yes, anyone that wants to come out and watch is certainly welcome to come.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you, Kevin.
All right, Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Inch is back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
Are you ready for this?
He's got to get long. Tyreek Hill hauls it out at the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
The Kansas City Chiefs return to the airwaves Saturday, August 14th, when they kick off the 2021 preseason against the 49ers. Catch all the action right here on your home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Chiefs football with Steve's Pest Control on 104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS.
Take a back road to St. Thomas the Apostle Parish Picnic in St. Thomas happening Sunday, August 15th. Fried chicken and roast beef dinners will be served from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Stop by the quilt auction at 5 p.m. Get in on the grand raffle for a chance to win $1,000 in cash, all while enjoying live music. Drive-thru and carryouts are available. Please practice responsible social distancing. Don't miss the St. Thomas the Apostle Picnic, Sunday, August 16th. Brought to you by AirServe Heating and Air Conditioning.
Hi, this is Glenn with Central Missouri Power Wash. Before someone can admire the inside of your home or business, the first thing they'll have to see is the outside. If your concrete parking lot, driveway, sidewalk, or patio is starting to show some age, let Central Missouri Power Wash give it a deep clean and facelift. We'll remove all of the dirt, debris, and stains to give your home or business the perfect first impression.
Who cleans it so you don't have to?
Central Missouri Power Wash.
Here's John Watkins from Jefferson City, talking about why he loves to see Steve at Frosty's Auto Clinic.
First time that I went there, it was the biggest reason I've been back ever since, is I went in for just a typical oil change, and as he's going through there, he comes, he's like, hey, do you realize that your spare tire's flat? He pays attention to detail, he's small business, and he really tries to take care of his customers. My truck is basically my office, and without my truck, I can't go to work.
At Frosty's Auto Clinic, the doctor is in. Find Frosty's on Facebook.
Every once in a great while, superheroes form alliances and team up. And why? Because even with supernatural abilities, everyone needs a team behind them. Whether you're trying to save the world or simply grow your business. At Zimmer Communications, when you team up with us, you're not getting one person's abilities. You're getting our whole team with key players in specific roles. We'll help you take your marketing and your business from average Joe to superhero. You know business. We grow business. ZimmerCommunications.com.
This is a list of things that suck. Fat-free cream cheese. Having to use the bathroom while stuck in traffic. When the bottom of your hard-shell taco collapses. Oh. And having to answer 36 questions before pumping your gas.
Debit card, yes. Do I know my PIN? Would you like a car wash? It's 10 degrees out. Do I like my mother-in-law?
I just want to pump my gas!
But inching their way slowly to the tippy top of the suck list are ticks. Disease-carrying, hard-to-find, blood-guzzling, nasty ticks. You know what doesn't suck? Having a friend in the pest control business. Steve, from Steve's Pest Control. And although he can't protect your bagel from the evils of fat-free cream cheese, he will make sure those creepy, crawly, teensy-tiny ticks are removed. Sorry, ticks. Sucks to suck.
I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. We're going to solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business. Steve's Pest Control.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. Last Saturday down in Branson, he was inducted into the Missouri Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. And we say good morning to John Rooney. Congratulations on that. Congratulations on 50 years of broadcasting, John.
That long, Kevin?
That's what they tell me. That's what I have on my sheet.
I guess that's about right. Thank you very much. It was a week ago. Where did the week go is what I'd like to know. Where did the time go?
Wow. What was your message down in Branson last week?
Well, the message was simple, that I'm really thankful that those I've worked for, especially in the state of Missouri, like Clyde Lear. Clyde introduced me at the induction ceremony, but the fact that Clyde Lear and Derry Brownfield took a chance there in Jefferson City, and they put a couple of networks on the air, a news network and a farm network. And the news network later in 1977 expanded into sports and picked up the Mizzou rights and gave me a chance to work. Ken Meyer, he owned the station where I started my career in Lexington, Missouri, and Charlie Earls was also one of the inductees. The people like that took a chance of following their dreams so people like me could have a place to work and a place to start. And I did some work there at KWOS. I did some work at KLIK in Jefferson City and broadcast some Jeff City and Elias games and did some Legion ball on KWOS. Mm-hmm. It was very, very fortunate for me and for many others that good broadcasters and good station managers and owners took that chance and so fortunate to be able to follow what I like to do and do it for so long.
You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and they said when John Rooney was a kid, he loved to play the game of baseball.
No, I did. I loved to play baseball. It was something I I hit a tennis ball over the neighbor's fence, and you know what? That was pretty good. That was fun. And then started playing organized baseball, and I ended up playing Optimus ball, Legion ball, and Ban Johnson baseball till I was about 21. But I could talk a lot faster than I could run, so I followed the broadcast business.
Growing up, John, who is your favorite announcer that you like to listen to?
Well, I love Jack Buck. I liked his pacing, his sense of humor, his voice. I like the way he did a game, and not just baseball, but he did a very good call of football about anything Jack did, and he did everything at KMOX. And Bob Hyland had him on the air 24 hours, I think. I know he wanted to because he was that good, and he meant that much to St. Louis, and to be able to follow in the footsteps of a Jack Buck and to work with Mike Shannon for many years there at KMOX and with the Cardinals, that has been a dream come true. I really enjoyed Bud Blattner, Denny Matthews. They were very nice to me. I started out when I was 16 years old, and I went to Municipal Stadium in Kansas City to do interviews, and later Royal Stadium, and made my trips down to St. Louis to do interviews, and went all over the state covering sports with Missouri Net and following University of Missouri football, basketball, and their baseball program and other sports for many years. So I just happened to dive right in because of what others did. And those broadcasters, Kevin, guys like Jack Buck and Jack Brickhouse and Milo Hamilton, back then they had to do everything. It wasn't just calling baseball games. They'd do a man-in-the-street interview, or after the ball game would show up at the TV station and do the sports during the news block and do many, many other things at the station, even sell advertising. And I did a lot of that over the years, too.
Take me back to when you started as a teenager in broadcasting.
Well, my cousin Dennis Rooney was a newsman in Kansas City. And he wanted to be a top 40 jock on WHB or KXOK. He liked that format and liked the music back in the 60s, and I still do to this day. I enjoy all kinds of genres and have about 5,000 files on a music player and on my phone, and I like to listen to a lot of music. So I thought, you can do that. You can work a radio station like that. And he said, sure you can. And a guy named Jim Austin came to our high school on a career day, and he was with KLEX over in Lexington, and he invited me over to the station to meet the station manager, Ray Beckwith. And I told Ray it was August 21st, and that was in 1971 when I went on the air for the first time. And I said, I'm doing sports for you. And when he finished laughing, he said, okay, go in there and put a sports cast together, and if it's any good, we'll put it on the air. And that's how it all worked out. I did a little bit of everything at the station. I helped paint the station, helped clean it up, empty the waste paper baskets, helped cover the city council meetings and all kinds of news. It was a great experience, and then it just happened to evolve from there.
You were the first sports director at Missouri Net. You mentioned him just a few moments ago. Clyde Lear, of course, the owner of Learfield Communications at that time. Bob Pretty was the news director at that time for the Missouri Net, two that are in the Missouri Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame.
Well, Bob Pretty is as fine a newsman as I ever worked with or listened to, and just a wonderful person, but a real pro. And I learned a lot about how to go about being a professional in this business from Bob Pretty and growing and working with him. But the news network, when it went on the air, I was still at KLEX, and someone was burning down my hometown at Richmond, Missouri. We had a guy setting fires, and it was pretty serious. And I think I was one of the first reporters to be on the air and have a report on the Missouri Net when they went on the air. And I told Bob, if you ever hire a sports director, I'd love to be considered. And I was working in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and just won a KAB Association Award for high school play-by-play and sports coverage down there. And I got the job working Mizzou football and basketball pre and post game, and ended up doing Missouri basketball play by play. And later, I did the football on radio for a few years, but did the Warren Powers show. And Carlos Fernandez, who was our director, was honored at the NBA last weekend. It was great to see Carlos. That goes back to 1978, Kevin. And we had Max Usler, a good friend of mine, was our producer. And Max taught at KU. He was a journalism professor, just retiring recently. And at the time, he was at Mizzou. And I got to learn a lot from all those people. And those are people very, very dear to me.
John, when did you want to become a broadcaster, and who had the most influence on you?
Well, probably when I was a kid. I know in our eighth grade yearbook at Immaculate Conception School in Lexington, Missouri, some of my friends wrote that I'd probably end up doing the Oakland A's games, because I like the Cardinals and I like the Kansas City A's, and then Finley moved the A's to Oakland after the 1967 season, and I enjoyed listening to Monty Moore and George Bryson and others who broadcast the A's. Red Rush was on for a while, and he ended up working a little bit for the Cardinals at the end of his career. But I thought, well, that's great. I love baseball, love going to the games, but I love listening. And with our little AM transmitter, the transistor radios and these transmitters that were 50,000 watts in Philadelphia and Minneapolis and St. Louis, and we could pick up baseball at nighttime and to listen to the various announcers, I thought, boy, that's a great job, to go to the ballpark and talk about the games. And but just learning over the years how to do it, and I still learn something new every day going to the ballpark, whether it's about the game or about our business. And that hasn't stopped for 50 years now. But when I was a kid playing the game, I used to broadcast the games while we played in the backyard and drove my friends nuts. And I didn't care, because it was all part of it. The way I listened to games, for those many, many years and nights with the guys in Minneapolis. And I got to work with Herb Carneal, but Herb and Halsey Hall, And then we had Bysom out of Philadelphia, and you could pick up the Pittsburgh Pirate games as Bob Prince was calling the play-by-play there. And, of course, with Jack Buck, Harry Carey following them. My dad and I used to sit in the back seat of the car and listen to the games, because our Philco in the house couldn't pull in KFEQ out of St. Joe or KMOX until they had signal changes. And then when KMOX came in, it was a little easier to pick it up on the radio in the house.
John, as everybody knows, you're the play-by-play voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, but you've done a lot of national work as well, haven't you?
I was very fortunate to get a chance to do the Final Four. I was working at Missouri Network at the time. I was kind of bouncing back and forth doing minor league baseball 2 years in Oklahoma City and then two in Louisville. And I came back to do Missouri football and basketball in the early 80s. And I happened to meet Jim Host when I was doing a Missouri game in the NCAA tournament in Louisville, Missouri and Iowa. And Dave Hart, who was athletic director at Louisville before coming to Mizzou, had a great association with Jim. And Dave told him, I think John does a good job and he might be a good candidate to work on the NCAA radio network. So I met Jim Host at that game in Louisville, and he said, I hear you do a nice call. Why don't you send me a tape of this, and maybe we can do some business. And I just thought Jim was being kind to Dave Hart. But I sent him a tape, and sent him a tape of the game that I was doing. He was with his crew doing the national broadcast of that regional game in Louisville. And then I got a call the next winter saying, if Kentucky's in the Final Four, would you like to work in the NCAA tournament and do the Final Four? And I thought, okay, who's pulling my chain on this one? Huh. But it turned out to be the real deal. And indeed, I did the regional where Kentucky beat Illinois down in Lexington. And if Dickie Beal had been called for traveling, you and I might not be talking right now, because Kaywood Ledford then would have been doing the Final Four, because Kentucky would have been eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
But Kentucky went on to win that. And then the next day I did Wake Forest and Houston and St. Louis, and Houston went on to the Final Four and got the call of Houston and Virginia in the Final Four in Seattle, working with Kurt Gowdy.
Wow.
Sitting by Kurt Gowdy, I said, Kurt, I have a question for you. Why am I here? But Kurt said, no, I don't want to do play-by-play anymore. I'd like to host this and have a little fun and just be around the tournament. We'll have some fun today. And we had an overtime game where Houston, with the freshman Phi Slamajama, beat Virginia, and Virginia gave them a great run without Ralph Sampson. That was a year after Sampson. Then I got to do 19 Final Fours in a row, at least one game on that Saturday. And then when Kay Wood Ledford retired, I did 10 championships as well.
You've done so many different things. Is there a sport or an event that you haven't done that you'd like to do before you hang up the microphone?
No, not really. I always wanted to do baseball, and I had that chance starting out down in Pittsburgh, Kansas, where I finally got to broadcast some baseball on the radio, because in Lexington, not too many programs had baseball at the time in the area where I grew up outside of Kansas City, and they do now. But I got a chance to do a Babe Ruth tournament, and I went with that Pittsburgh-Kansas team all the way to the national tournament in Colorado Springs, where they lost out to a team from New Hampshire. And years later, in the back of a plane, when I was with the White Sox, Mike LaValliere and Steve Sachs and we have Bobby Thigpen back there, and we're talking about playing baseball as kids. And Mike LaValliere talked about Babe Ruth baseball. He said, and I said, you know, I broadcast a national Babe Ruth tournament in Colorado Springs. And LaValliere said, yeah, I played in a tournament. Well, as it turned out, LaValliere hit a home run against Pittsburgh and helped eliminate that team that I was broadcasting. And it's a small world that way. And their play-by-play announcer ended up doing sports in Boston for many, many years, Bob LaBelle. So it is a very, very small world. But I love the baseball, and I cherish my days of doing radio bingo in Pittsburgh, Kansas. That was interesting, watching the balls come down the chute, and it is B10. And you know, people could be lying if they called in and said they had a bingo. I don't know how they checked that, but. that was on the resume, too. But being able to back up Jack Buck on Monday Night Football on CBS Radio and doing the NCAA tournament for that long a time, for 19 years. And I did the television in the Big Ten Conference for a number of years, and Northwestern basketball, where I met Bill Foster, who coached for Duke for a while. And they coached at Utah and South Carolina, and I did his show at Northwestern and became a great friend. And Joe Castiglione and I kind of came up together at Mizzou, and Joe's the athletic director at Oklahoma right now, and one of the most influential athletic directors in the NCAA on many of their committees, including the prestigious men's basketball committee. So through basketball, I've met so many wonderful people. And football was probably my least favorite. There's a lot about it I still learn today with that sport, but I did that to help put the kids through school, and that worked out all right, doing a lot of NFL and college over the years, working for a number of different networks, and having a chance to work for ESPN Radio and do a few games on ESPN TV over the years. That has been wonderful, but still have a great association with the Missouri Valley Conference, and wish Doug Elgin all the best in his retirement. Joe Mitch retired a few years back. I was involved with them back in the 80s when I was at the White Sox, and Sports Channel out of Chicago was doing their games. And then to come back and do those, and to know the coaches in that league, and it's a great league to work, and it's fun to do and something to do until spring training rolls around. So baseball has been the most fun, but I love the basketball. Excuse me, Kevin. Love the basketball, and I enjoy the association with all the people I've met.
John, we always enjoy having you on the show. Once again, congratulations on your induction to the Missouri Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. And again, congratulations on 50 years of broadcasting. Thanks for being with us.
Well, I appreciate it, Kevin. I appreciate your friendship and all the kindness of the people there in Jefferson City for the time I spent at Learfield at Missouri Network. And I still honor and cherish those days with Bob Pretty getting up early in the morning And even mornings when I couldn't make it on time, Bob filled in for me. And I appreciate that, Bob. You saved my neck many times. And Clyde Lear and Derry Brownfield. And I love those days as well. But thank you for having me on.
Thanks, John. Have a great weekend.
You too.
St. Louis Cardinals play-by-play announcer and Missouri Broadcasters Association Hall of Famer John Rooney. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
We overlook a lot in a lifetime. While some things seem small at first, it's the little things that make a big difference. Like Roberts Drugstore. They're just an old-fashioned local pharmacy. Get the benefits of free delivery, complimentary homemade baked goods, and real relationships with the staff. Don't overlook the little things. Shop local and experience the Roberts difference. Home of Jefferson City Magazine's best pharmacist, Kim Roberts. RobertsDrugstoreRx.com.
One of the fundamental missions of the Zimmer Radio and Marketing Group is to serve Missouri communities. And thanks to you, our listeners, our partners, Zimmer was recently presented with the National Association of Broadcasters Top Award for Community Service for our teamwork and your generosity during the Miracles for Kids Radiothon, benefiting MU Women's and Children's Hospital. With you, we make a pretty good team. Thank you for helping us change lives.
MIDMO 2021. Citizens hide in their homes as Sergeant Storm and his bad weather battalion design a devious plan to sabotage siding and wreak havoc on rooftops. Deep in the darkest recesses of Sergeant Storm's citadel,
wind and rain unite. It's time we pull the plug on the Gray Panther. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But wait, a signal has been sent. It looks like Mid-Missourians have already had the rooftops replaced and their siding saved by the Gray Panther! Defender of the downspout, sentinel of the shingle, and guardian of the gutter, the Gray Panther has once again stopped Sergeant Storm in his tracks.
This is Greg A. Hodges, a.k.a. the Gray Panther. Call us before my nemesis, Sergeant Storm, strikes again. At Hodges Roofing and Siding, we install higher quality roof systems backed by bulletproof warranties. Send a signal to HodgesMo.com or call 573-ROOFING.
Hodges Roofing and Siding, home of the Gray Panther since 1976. HodgesMo.com.
Listen to the radio driving in your car. Radio gets results. Radio is there no matter where you are. Radio gets results.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Let's check in with Jefferson City Jays soccer coach Scott Blake. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you this morning?
Coming off a great year last year, 25 wins, made it to the Final Four.
Yeah, it was one for the books for sure. We real enjoyable, and you know, it's good to get back on the field with the 2021 Jays to see if we can move that direction again this year.
What'd you do this summer with your squad?
You know, we maximize our contact days every summer. You know, they're there, so we use them. So whether it was weight room or training or going to a couple showcases, it was pretty typical summer as far as our scheduling goes. We went to St. Louis for the varsity showcase with the varsity and the JV team. Earlier this summer, went to Burlington, Iowa with two teams as well. So we've got some game experience, which is much needed. You know, our players, we have a good number of players that don't necessarily play year-round and may not play with club teams and so on and so forth. So getting some of that game experience was good, and we were able to get on the road and find it.
You play great defense, don't you?
You know, our defense sets up our offense. That's kind of the Jay way. And I would say, you know, our approach right now is very similar. You know, we don't ever want to be a team that just kind of sits there, and you know, we like to be dynamic. So, but definitely a cornerstone of our play is to not give easy goals and to kind of have a rhythm on the game. And so, you know, that'll be a similar focus going into the season, has been. And as we get more experience and we have these young kids that we've got gaining this varsity experience, then we're going to find out what kind of attacking team we can be. We always would like to go forward. We always want to go forward and have the kids express themselves. But we got to get that part down first.
Pretty hot this week. How was practice?
It was hot. You're right. We had a little bit of weather as well on Thursday, so there was some creative planning on our part. But, you know, we've got a great staff, and we've got great families and great kids that were flexible and, you know, move practice half hour later and a half hour early, you know, move things around, including our pictures that we did yesterday. So, you know, it takes high school sports is an everyday commitment, and it just takes a lot of flexibility. But we were able to keep the kids hydrated. Their approach was very, very good. Like I said, with a very young squad, they approached every activity with an open mind, a lot of great questions, and we're very coachable this week.
Are you happy with your numbers out right now?
We're right about 35-36, which is not too far off where we were last year. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, with all things considered, the landscape of our new high school at Capital City, and, you know, there's a three-way split here in Jeff City with high schools, you know, a 35 is a sustainable number. You know, and there's a lot of kids that have committed to our middle school program, and some of the numbers come from that. So we're pleased with 35. We'll have two teams this year, a junior varsity team and a varsity team. And there'll be plenty of playing time for everybody, and that's always a good thing. And looking forward to the season start.
Next week, a jamboree for you at Columbia Hickman, right?
Yes, sir. At Columbia Hickman, we'll have a four-team jamboree is what it's looking like right now. You know, I think Battle dropped out. We may be having another team jump in. But those are three 25-minute halves that give us a look at our team. We treat those more like a camp. You know, we want to look at very specific things in our team. So, you know, the results are becoming important, but that jamboree, we're definitely going to play a lot of kids. We're going to try a lot of different things and see where we're at in measuring our first part of our season.
Coach, appreciate your time this morning. Good luck this season. We'll check in throughout the year with you, okay?
Look forward to it. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Coach. Jefferson City Jays head soccer coach Scott Blake. They'll actually start the season 2 weeks from today when they will take on Camdenton. Then on August the 31st, a game against the Capital City Cavaliers. Good home schedule this year as well for the Jefferson City Jays soccer team. A couple of highlights, the 24th and 25th of September, it's the Richard Wilson invite. October 1st and 2nd, a varsity shootout at Camdenton. October 15th and 16th, it's the Art Furley shootout. And then October 22nd and 23rd, a varsity shootout at Columbia Rockbridge. We'll see you next week on The Coach's Show.